Jenna comes to read the scripture this morning, and it is a long one, though it flows well. It's a story, a parable. It's not a real Lazarus. The real Lazarus is a real person, but this is one in a parable. And in a parable, you can make up all kinds of things, as Jesus did, and create all kinds of situations. As Jesus did. And so this is a long parable, long story, but it's fabulous. I won't say favorite, but it's one of the most calling and difficult to hear, but strengthening because of what it does for us. So let's listen as Janet comes to read for us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus.
Okay, it is Luke 16, 19 to 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he was being tormented. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Beside all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead comes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
We pray together. Oh God, breathe into us spirit of life, strength, and purpose, and call us to new life for others as we hear your word proclaimed this day. We receive it now. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I was in the Concord Presbyterian Church in Economy, Baden. It's post office the same. It's a little country church full of wonderful people. And it was so much fun being back there because I had been interim for 2 years. And they were two very marvelous years. They were a wonderful place to be. On that particular Sunday, 2 weeks ago, the lectionary text was a short one. We had a long one today, but 2 weeks ago, it was a very short reading. It was two little parables, 2 weeks ago, from the 15th chapter of Luke. Today, we are in the 16th chapter. And those two parables, 2 weeks ago, one little parable about a shepherd. And he had 100 sheep, but one of them was lost. And so he leaves the 99 and he goes out to find the lost sheep. And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and he comes back rejoicing, full of joy. And the scripture says, And there is more joy in heaven when one person is found than when 99 that don't need to be found. Joy in heaven. Joy in heaven. That's the first little parable. The second parable was about a woman who had 10 coins, and she lost a coin. Oh, she got out her broom and she swept the house and she got her lantern and she started looking in every corner. And finally, she finds the one coin that was lost. And she invited over all of her friends for a party. And at the end of that little parable, it says, the angels in heaven rejoice when one who is lost comes home, is found, brought back. What wonderful parables for us in our times of need. These parables, these two little parables, say that it's all about God. We don't have to do anything. We just have to be lost. And God comes and finds us. And the work of renewal and the reclaiming, we don't have to do anything. It's all God's work. It's all grace from beginning to end. It's grace. God does it. We are found. We were lost, but we're found. And God brings us home. And heaven rejoiced the day you came home. These are great little parables for when we feel down, when we feel depressed, when we have lost something precious, when we don't think we can make it on our own another day, and we don't have to make it on our own another day, because we have been found, and grace has done its work. These are great little parables. But then we come to chapter 16. And chapter 16 gives us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And it's nothing like the parable of the sheep and the coin. Listen to see if you can catch the difference. There was a rich man, as Jesus begins the parable. Did you ever notice that the Gospel of Luke is always circling back, talking about money? And so here we are with a rich man. Let's look at him. He is dressed in purple, which means that he was able to afford the expensive dye that was necessary that his clothes be royal in color, and he did, no problem there. He also dressed in fine linen, if you listen carefully to the reading, which means that his underwear was imported from Egypt, the finest cotton. He had gone through the Amazon website and he picked out the linen from Egypt and he ordered it and it was delivered right to his doorstep. Ah, what a regal figure. What an impressive person he must have been. Oh, by the way, the underwear was advertised light as a feather. And then it says, and this is my favorite verse of the Bible, my very, 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 very favorite verse of the Bible. It says that he feasted sumptuously. Don't you love that word? Isn't that a great word? He feasted sumptuously. Every day. Oh, so do I. And I don't want it to be ever any different from that. My day starts out with a hot breakfast, a light lunch, some fruit, not too much, and then there's dinner. A great big thick pork chop taken off the grill. And next to it will be a potato with real butter, or in the summertime, corn on the cob. And to make the plate look appealing and give it color, there's peas or broccoli or green beans. And then for dessert, in season, there will be strawberries, fresh strawberries, with homemade shortcake. And on top of that, whipped cream or ice cream or even milk. And if there's no dessert, I've got Skinny Cow ice cream sandwiches in the freezer and cookies in the pantry. Oh, I am the rich man. And I don't ever want to be any different. He feasted sumptuously every day. If it's really true that half of the world's population lives beneath $3 or $4 a day, then I am a very rich man. And then there was another person, main character in this story. There was a person who was a poor man. His name is Lazarus. Parables don't usually give personal names to its characters, but this one, we can feel personal connection. He has a name. His name is Lazarus. He is the exact opposite of the rich man. He is dumped at the rich man's gate. And there he hopes to be able to survive by the charity, the crumbs. Actually, I didn't know this, but there was a special bread that you would clean your hands with before dinner. You wiped your hands with this bread, and then you would take the dirty bread and just throw it under the table. And so Lazarus longed for the dirty bread that fell under the table after the hands were washed. Story says that he is covered with sores, and that the stray dogs, the wild dogs, would come and would lick his sores, his only comfort in life were the dogs who came to lick his sores. Well, as Jesus tells the parable, the rich man dies, Lazarus dies. When Lazarus dies, it says that the angels from heaven came and escorted Lazarus to the bosom, to the side of Father Abraham, father of the faith. And when the rich man died, he was buried. And then there becomes a conversation. It's a conversation between where the rich man has gone and where Lazarus has gone. The rich man, the text says that he lifted up his eyes, which is something he should have done long before this. His eyes were not ever lifted up. His eyes were mostly focused on the mirror in his dressing room, where he would look at himself. Oh, what a good looking person I am. Look how I am dressed. Look how important that people must think I am when I walk through the streets. Would you look at me? This time he lifts up his eyes, and there he sees Lazarus. Now, Lazarus, of course, was the poor man in the story. In the New Testament, there are two words for poor. One is the word poor that refers to the working poor, which is where a lot of us are. We need every paycheck every week, or we would not have anything to eat. The working poor. And then there is another word for poor, which means destitute. And in Greek, to pronounce that word, you almost have to spit to say it. The word is tokos. You see, we used to love that in Greek class. We used to love practicing saying that word. You have to sort of spit. Tokos! And I'm sure there must have been some people who walked by the poor man, Lazarus, and looked down at him and said, tokos. But now, the reversal. Luke loves reversals. Now the reversal, the tokos is down there, and Lazarus is at the side of Abraham. And the rich man says to Abraham, send Lazarus. Have Lazarus just tip his finger in water and send him just to put the tip of his finger on my tongue because I am in such torment here. And Abraham answers, no dice, bub. Can't do it. There's this gulf, there's this chasm between where you are and where we are, and there's no traveling between the two. And so now the rich man must have some love, concern left in his heart, because he said, okay, then send someone to my five brothers. Evidently, the five brothers were living the same way that the rich man was living. They were living for themselves. They were living in such a way that they never saw or cared for the plight, the condition, the agony, the struggle that Lazarus had. They were full of themselves. And so the rich man says, send someone to my five brothers. And Abraham said, I can't do that either. And he adds, even if someone came back from the dead and went to your five brothers, it wouldn't do any good. Miracles don't create faith. They just sort of catch our attention for a moment. Then we go on for something else. We are not called into faith because of some miracle. And so Abraham then says to the tokos in hell, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to Moses and the prophets. It is the call of faith for Moses and the prophets. For Moses and the prophets call us to be a different kind of human being in the world. Let them listen to their message of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Let them listen to the message of what it means to be a fully human person. Let them listen to the story and the story of God's grace and love. Let them listen to this new life, this different life. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And so where are we and who are we in the story? We are the five brothers who now have the opportunity and the invitation to find our life in God in this new and different way in which our life is meant for each other, and we give ourselves to each other. And as Jesus did, this word kenosis that describes him in the Gospels, kenosis means that Jesus emptied himself in behalf of the world. If the rich man had listened to Moses and the prophets, Lazarus would not have died at his gate. If the rich man had listened to Moses and the prophets, the one who was hungry would not have yearned for scraps from under the table, the dirty bread under the table. He would have been brought into the table. He would have feasted sumptuously along with a rich man. If the rich man had listened to Moses and the prophets, he would have taken some of his money and he would have bought that expensive balm from Gilead. You know, the balm of Gilead. You rub it on the sores. It's for the healing of the body, and its fragrance fills the room with sweetness. If he had listened to Moses and the prophets, he would have emptied himself. I don't know which one of the parables you need to hear today. Maybe both. Maybe you come here needing to hear about the lost coin and the lost sheep. You just don't think you can make it another moment. You just need to be found. You need to know that it's all grace and it's all God's work, and we are found and loved and we don't have to do anything. Maybe that's what you need to hear. Or maybe Lazarus is at your gate. And I can promise you this: God will do whatever is necessary to get you to love Lazarus. Amen.